you would, and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Tonight's message is entitled, How to Be an Effective Soul Winner. How to Be an Effective Soul Winner. We passed out last week these to every person that came, and tonight we're going to, I need some usher's help or some anybody can help, Pastor Matt and Clayton. If you have not already received at some time in the past one of these promised New Testaments and do not have a copy of the five things you must know and the one thing you must do, if you'll slip up your hand, we only have 100 of them. We've given them out before, but if you've not received one of these, you can slip up your hand. It's a free gift to you. It costs our church about $3.50 per book. We want to make sure that you get one of these, though, because I'm going to be talking about marking your New Testament. The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Just keep your hand up. I'm going to go quickly this evening. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That is a verse that a lot of Christians have memorized and a lot of Christians quote. The Bible tells us that when we got saved, God made us new creatures. But the following passages tell us why he did that. The Bible says in verse 18, And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us unto himself by Jesus Christ, and then hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. God saved us, made us like him, new creatures in Christ. Why? So he could reconcile us unto himself, and so that he could give us the ministry of reconciling others to God. That is what we're to do. We're to go out and bring people to God. To wit, he says in verse 19, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. So if you want to be like Christ, Christ was reconciling the world unto himself, and he wants us to reconcile others to God, to represent him. Now he goes on and says, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. We are representatives of Christ. That is what you do wherever you go. Whether you open your mouth or not, if someone knows you're a Christian, then you are representing Jesus Christ. Tonight we want to talk about how to effectively use your mouth. We've been talking about words on Sunday morning. We're going to talk about how to do what God wants you to do. How to be effective in soul winning. And we're going to go through we're going to cover a lot of ground this evening, so let's pray and ask God to lead us. Father, I pray that you teach us, help us to, help me to communicate effectively to your people. Father, I don't want to rush through this. I do want your people to understand that we can be effective or we can be ineffective, and Father, you want us to be helpful. And you want us to be effective witnesses for you. And I pray you'll help us to do this. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. When I first trusted Christ as my Lord and Savior, I really wanted to be able to tell other people how they could know for sure they're going to heaven. But quite frankly, I was intimidated. I didn't know how to approach people. And as I said a little while ago, somebody gave me two tapes by Jack Hiles called Let's Go Soul Winning. And later, a little booklet that was made out of those tapes called Let's Go Soul Winning. And I learned step by step how to approach people. Dr. Hiles said later on that there were people, sales companies, that wanted to buy this booklet and use it to train people how to be effective in door-to-door salesmanship. And so what we're going to teach tonight, what I've practiced now for 35 years or longer, actually, man, I hate to admit it, but it's almost 40 years I've been practicing this, is what I learned in this area of winning people to Jesus Christ and how to be a soul winner. The Bible says this, he that winneth souls is wise. And the indication there is he must have wisdom. In order to convert somebody, in order to bring somebody to Christ, in order to bring somebody over to your way of thinking, you've got to approach them with wisdom. Throughout the summertime, when we have summer missionaries here, I make them and read the book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. It's important that we learn how to effectively approach people without offending them and to share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we're going to share with you several principles that'll help you. First of all, principle number one, have a definite time to go. Have a definite time to go. You, if you're going to win people to Jesus Christ, should be doing it on a regular basis. You should determine, make a determination that you're going to carry gospel tracts with you. You should make a determination that you're going to witness. And we'll talk about that more. But I have found this. If I don't have a time set for things that are important to me, then I'm not going to do them. The reason you are here tonight, it's 6 p.m. on Sunday night in church, is because you said it's important to be in church, and you have a definite time to go to church. I have a definite time to be in church. I have a definite time to be someplace. If you called me up this week and said, well, Pastor, I need to make an appointment with you, and I said, okay, well, call the office. And you called the office, and you said, I want to make an appointment with the pastor. And April said, well, when do you want to make that appointment? And you said, well, I'm busy all week long, but I can meet with him between 10 o'clock and 11 o'clock next Sunday morning. Would that be okay? She would say, no, you won't be able to do that. If she were to say, what about between 11 and 12:30 next Sunday morning? She would say, no, you can't do that. Okay, well, I can't do it then. Well, then how about next Wednesday evening at 7, between 7 and 8 o'clock? She would say, no. Why? Because I am doing something at that time. And she knows that she can't make an appointment for me because I'm going to be preaching. I'm going to be doing something that is important. You need to understand how important soul winning is. And let me tell you, if it's something that's important, then you're going to have a set time to do it. You have to, if you're going to pray, you're going to have a set time for prayer. You're going to have a set time for reading your Bible, or you're just not going to do it. We have set times for work. We have set times for so many different things. We have set times for dinner, and that's obvious. We're Baptists. That's part of our tradition. We have set times for when we eat, when we don't eat. We have those set times. Now, same thing is true with soul winning. If you're going to be an effective soul winner, you need to have set times. That's why here at Liberty Baptist Church, we have Tuesday evening soul winning. That's why we have Saturday morning soul winning. You can go anytime, and we make maps, and we make things available all throughout the week. But if you are going to be effective, if you are going to be a soul winner, you need to have, number one, a definite time to go. Number two, you need to be soul conscious. You need to be soul conscious. You should ask God to make you aware of that people are either going to go to heaven or hell. Ask God on a daily basis, Lord, help me to remember that every person I talk to today, every person I talk to is either going to go to heaven or they're going to go to hell. Man, that'll make a real impact on your life. You'll get in that elevator and you'll think, that person may be going to hell. That person needs to get saved. And you'll start getting convicted, and you'll start carrying tracts. Ask God to make you soul conscious. Take tracts with you everywhere you go, every place you go. You say, well, I know I'm supposed to do that, but I forget. Well, ladies, God has ordained in the culture that we live in that ladies carry track bags with them. You call them purses, but God's given those to you. And Dr. Wimp said and taught us years ago that God has ordained that all God-given shirts should have track racks in them. This is not for pencils. This is not for pocket liners. This is given by God as a track rack. You need to keep gospel tracts in there. You need to use them. You need to ask God to help you to remember to have tracts. I have tracts by our front door. I have tracts sitting on the counter at my home so that when I go to pick up my watch, when I go to pick up my phone, when I go to pick up things, the tracts are right there with with everything else, so that I am taking that most important thing. Ask God to make you soul conscious. Become soul conscious. Become aware of the fact that people are either going to go to heaven or they're going to go to hell. Number three, if you want to be a soul winner, be neat and clean. You say, wait a minute, are you going to? Yeah, we need to talk about this. You need to understand that you represent Jesus Christ. And as a representative of Jesus Christ, you need to be take care of yourself. If you're going to go out door knocking, representing the Lord, then represent Him properly. Dress in a way that would bring honor and glory to Him. Smell in a way that brings honor and glory to Him. Christians take a shower every day. Unless you have a skin problem, you should do something to make yourself presentable on a day-by-day basis. That means brushing your teeth daily. That means washing your hair and combing your hair. I came in yesterday because I was going to get a haircut. I came in yesterday, my hair was all down, and a couple of the teenagers walked up and said, "Man, you look like Justin Bieber." I don't even know how to say the guy's name. I said, "That guy must be really good looking." And somebody else one day, I came in to get my hair, I was getting my hair cut that day. And so I always, I don't do, it takes a lot to make my hair look this way. And I say, it doesn't look like you do much, but I do. So my hair just hangs straight down. And somebody said, "Man, you look like one of the Beatles." And I said, and then I thought Paul McCartney, and they said Ringo Starr. And those of you of the 60s will know what that means. Everybody said that Ringo Starr was so ugly, he was cute. I don't want to be compared to Ringo Starr. Anyway, it's important that we look good. It's important that we take care of ourselves. Wash your hair, wash your face and comb your hair and wear nice clothes. Wear nice clothes. You represent Christ. You're not going to a basketball game. You're going to play basketball. Don't dress that way when you're going to go out and tell people about Jesus Christ. Now, if you're out playing basketball and there's some basketball guys that you're going to witness to, that's all right. If you're out, you should be witnessing everywhere. But when you're going to represent Christ, when you're going to be involved in soul winning, you ought to be, you ought to look neat. You ought to look clean. I have a practice of carrying breath mints with me, because I'm going to be talking to somebody. I'm going to be taking my Bible. I'm going to be opening it up, and I'm going to be this close to their face. And I don't want them to be thinking, "Oh, I can't wait till this guy leaves." I don't want him thinking, "Man, I'm talking to him about not going to hell." And I don't want him thinking, "Man, this is pretty bad right here." You know? You need to be neat and clean. You need to carry breath mints with you. You need to be careful. And then, number four, you need to carry a New Testament with you. We've made available for you tonight at no charge the promised New Testaments. And you can pick them up in the bookstore anytime. You can pick these up for about $3.50 a piece in our bookstore. And the inside of the promised New Testament, we have five things we've placed in there, five things you must know and one thing that you must do. And we'll go through that and teach you how to lead, how to use that step by step. We're not going to get to that tonight. We'll get to that next week. But carry it with you. When I first trusted Christ, the man I was listening to, Jack Hiles, said you ought to get a New Testament. And so I went out and I got this New Testament. This New Testament, I've led I don't know how many people to Christ with this. It was my first soul-winning New Testament. I got it in 1973. This is worn out. And I keep it with me to remind me how important it is that we win people to Jesus Christ day by day. You need to get yourself a New Testament. We're going to talk about in just a little while marking your New Testament, but let's go on. When you go out door knocking, when you go out soul winning, whenever you're going out visiting, you should always go two by two. Now, let me give you several reasons. Number one, Jesus sent out his disciples two by two. And if he sent them out two by two, then I think that's a good practice. If Jesus did it and Jesus thought it was a good idea, would you say it's a good idea? Can you say amen to that? Now, why? Why would he do that? Well, number one, if you're going door to door, one person can pray for the other person as you're visiting. While one's talking, the other one can be praying. Number two, we protect each other from unwanted advances. I remember going out one time and we were door to door. I was a teenager. I was probably carrying that New Testament at the time. And me and a fellow named Larry were out door knocking. As we were door knocking, there were a bunch of children. And then there was a lady that was there. And I started. I didn't think. I was just sort of innocent in my mind. I thought, if you're talking about Jesus, nope, nothing's going to happen. And so I took these teenagers away, and I started talking to them. In fact, I had an opportunity. They got around in a circle, and I got to lead. I don't know if they were teenagers. They may have been junior age boys. I got to lead these junior age boys to Christ, and it was really neat. And then I walked back in. I'd left my friend in the living room with this woman. And I said, well, let's go. He talked to her, and he was just like sort of, his face was white when I walked in. And I said, well, we're getting ready to leave. And I got out, and he said, don't ever do that again. I said, what? He said, man, you left me in that house with that woman. And I said, well, I was talking to these kids, and seven of them got saved. And he said, that's great. Well, that woman was coming on to me, and I didn't know what to say. And there was nobody there. So we can protect each other as we're going door to door. As we're going out soul winning, we need to be there to give strength to one another and to keep each other out of trouble. Can you say amen to that? In our culture in Las Vegas, Nevada, it's a dangerous culture out there. You never know what's going to take place. And so God sent them out two by two. And then the main reason for going out two by two is because one can handle the distractions while the other one is witnessing. If I'm with a friend of mine and we're witnessing to a man or a woman and there's children and they are acting up, then one can deal with the children while the other one continues leading people to Christ. If there's a problem in the home, one can take care of the problem while the other one is winning people to Christ. They can handle the distractions. So we want to go out two by two. Number six, go with different people. Go soul winning with different people. Go visiting with different people. First, find a partner. Find somebody who's willing to do this with you, to say, hey, I'm going to go out and I'm going to learn how to do this. And then train each other. Let one go first, then the other go to the next door, then the other one go to the next door, then the other one go to the next door, then the other one go to the next door. And then until you get used to doing this soul winning and this outreach. And once you get to a point where both of you are very comfortable doing it, you're comfortable with each other, then split up and decide you're going to train someone else who isn't as confident as you, and then both of you. Now, you can set times where you're going to go together because you've got a soul winning partner, you like to go out with them, but set a time for someone else to go with your friend, and you go with somebody else so that you're constantly training new people. Number seven, ask God to fill you and give you fruit before you go. It doesn't matter if it's on a Tuesday evening visitation or if you just say, I'm going to get a map and I'm going to go out door knocking, or whatever the situation is, you should always ask God to fill you. Father, I want to confess to you any sin that's in my life, and I want to ask you to fill me with your Spirit. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. That there's no mystical thing to that. You're not having some weird experience. You're just saying, God, I need you to control me. I want you to control my life tonight. I want you to speak through me. I want you to make me aware of any weaknesses so I can confess them. And then I want you to work through me, and I want you to talk to people through my life. God can do in your life what you could never do on your own. If you believe that, say amen. God wants us to ask him to fill us and to give us fruit before we go. God, I want to see somebody saved today. God, I want to see someone saved tonight. Lord, help me talk to a Christian that I can encourage. Ask him to do that. Oftentimes we just go, hey, this is what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to go out and do it. No, ask God to fill you. Whether you're an experienced soul winner, whether you've done it before, ask God to work in your life. And then go believing. Go, when you're going out to talk to somebody about Christ, go believing. Believe. The Bible tells us that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. I'll go talk to him, but I don't think it's going to do any good. Well, that's good. That's a good, well, I don't know why I'm going to, I don't even know why I should go out. Don't do that. Go out saying, Lord, thank you for the opportunity. This is eternity. There is nothing more important than doing this. There is nothing more important than changing somebody's destination from hell to heaven. If you believe that, say amen. And what you're doing is what God wants you to do. And Jesus said, if you ask anything according to my will, I will do it. Is it God's will that people be saved? If you believe that, say amen. Okay, and so if I'm going out and I'm doing the will of God, then I should go believing that God is going to use me and I'll see God do work. The Bible says that Jesus does not, in Jesus' day, he went to his hometown, and the Bible says he did not many mighty works because of their unbelief. We just need to believe that God wants to use us. We need to believe that God wants to work through us, and we need to believe that God wants people to be saved. So go believing. Number nine, be nice. Be nice. Say, why do you say that? Because it's amazing how people can be rude and how people can be judgmental. Remember what we talked about this morning, saying condemning things with your mouth. One preacher said that he was going out with another preacher, and this one preacher wanted to impress the other preacher with how holy he was. And so they had an appointment with a lady who had visited the church. And this true story, they went out to the door, they knocked on the door, and this visiting pastor was going out and was going to help teach this guy how to lead people to Christ. They knocked on the door. The woman who had visited the church this past week, she came to the door, and she wasn't dressed very well, and she was smoking a cigarette. And this preacher said, the pastor said, hey, lady, if you'll go and take that wicked weed out of your mouth and put some clothes on, then we'll take some time to tell you about Jesus. The preacher said, she ain't going to listen to a thing we say at this point. Listen, you have a responsibility to reflect Christ, and Christ would never say anything like that to anyone. Unless he was a Pharisee, and then he would say, woe unto you, a scribe, Pharisee, hypocrite. We need to learn to be nice, and we need to learn to be kind, and I've talked enough about that on Sunday morning. I really don't need to do that, but you need to understand this. When you go into somebody's home, you're an uninvited guest, and you need to be kind. You need to be nice. Be complimentary. Be complimentary. What do you mean by that? I mean that as you're going door to door, or if you go into somebody's home, find something that you can compliment about their home. Tell them what a beautiful home they have. You don't have to lie. I'm saying, find something. Children. When I see children in a home, I always get down and talk to the children. I used to, and I haven't done this for years. I should do it again. I used to carry candy with me in my pockets. The reason I don't carry it anymore is because it disappears. Used to carry candy in my pockets. And whenever I saw children in a home, I would say, hey, can I give Johnny Jr. here a piece of candy? And then you got the kids. And talk to them about how wonderful their kids are, and talk to them about what a beautiful home they have. I can remember one day walking into a guy's. In fact, I was standing outside of the guy's house. He opened the screen, didn't want to talk to me, and I looked behind him, and there was one of these great big fish tanks. I mean, huge aquarium, and I'm standing outside, and he's talking to me. He's just about to shut the door. I said, "Excuse me," I said, "Is that your aquarium?" And he said, "Yeah, why?" I said, "Man, I just love aquariums." He said, "You do?" I said, "Yeah." Now, this guy was about to shut the door on me. I said, "Do you have tropical fish in there or goldfish? What do you have?" He said, "Oh, I've got all sorts of tropical fish." And now he's talking to me. Now he's listening. You know, if you find interest in what people are interested in, that's an inroad to talk to them about anything. I was driving... We years ago we're going up to Mount Rushmore, and there is a town right outside Mount Rushmore called, starts with an S. Somebody help me. I can't remember the name of it. They have a huge, huge, huge. I didn't know about this, but they have a huge motorcycle. That's the one, Sturgis. I knew somebody was in here. They have a place called, it's a town called Sturgis. We drove there. I have my family with me. I drove around a corner. I come into this parking lot, and I'm telling you, there were 25,000. 1,000 motorcycle people there. I mean, some of them looked normal. Others looked, you know, like they would kill you. Touch my motorcycle, I rip your arms off. That type of guy. And man, I'm looking at all these bikes. And you'd think that they'd be mean or, these are bikers. You go up and start talking to them about their bike and say, man, what a beautiful bike. And these guys are like little boys with their toys. Yeah, let me show. And then they tell you and they show you and they, oh, look at this. Oh, this is good. And oh, I'd say, man, that is so great. Gave you a great opportunity. We were 500 miles away from Sturgis going down Interstate 90 heading towards Pennsylvania. And I stopped to get some gas. I pull over the side of the road, and there's a guy pulling what looked to be a horse trailer. And I was pumping gas, and I started a conversation with him so I could give him a track. He said, where are you coming from? I said, hey, we were just in Sturgis. He said, you were in Sturgis? I said, yeah. He said, me too. I said, really? I said, where's your bike? He said, come here. He went back to the back of that horse trailer, opened it up. There was a Harley Davidson in there that was chrome from the front to the back, 100% chrome, except for the handlebar. I think that the grips would have been chrome if he could. I mean, it was just beautiful. He started talking to me about this, and it was. And I said, well, why didn't you drive it? He said, it's miserable to drive. He said, man, it just shakes you to pieces. But, man, I love to go to Sturgis. And man, I got an opportunity to witness to him. Compliment people. Tell people. And I'm not talking about being a phony. I'm talking about genuinely enjoying things that people enjoy and letting them know. It opens the door for you to communicate with them. You talk to them, compliment their possessions, their children. Don't be too personal. You can get in trouble. But find interests that are common and express interest in the things that they're involved in. Anytime I walk up to a house that's got a Mustang in it, I talk to them about my Mustang talk to them about the greatest car in America. I'm talking, not you. Be complimentary. Number 11. Be careful about going inside someone's home. If you're going to a Tuesday evening visitation and you're going out and you're visiting, we're not asking you when we have breadbasket visits on Tuesday night to go and try and get in a person's home. Be careful about that. Remember this, that you weren't invited, and what you want to do is make them feel comfortable. You do not want to find yourself inside a home, and by the way, never do this. You never want to go inside a home with somebody of the opposite sex when you're by yourself. You don't want to do that. Don't seem pushy. It's better to lead someone to the Lord at the door than it is to go inside and lose them. People, if they know that you're not trying to push to get inside their home, then they're not going to feel like they are, they're not going to feel like they're being invaded. Would you like to come in? No, we don't need to come in. We just wanted to stop by and invite you to visit with us at the church and talk. If they ask you a second and a third time, then you may want to go in, but you just be careful about going inside. Then number 12, be a good listener. Be a good listener. A person needs to earn the right to be listened to. The Bible says, be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Sometimes people just need to talk. Sometimes people will just begin to talk. In fact, I have had people in my ministry over all these years, people will come into my office and they'll say, Pastor, I just needed to make an appointment. I just needed to talk to you. And I'd say, okay, well, I really, really need some help. And so I will say, okay, I'm here. We'll make an appointment. They'll come in and they'll tell me. They'll talk and I'll just sit there. And I'll say, oh, man, I'm sorry to hear that. Oh, man, really? Oh, well, I'm sorry. Oh, well, that happened? Man, oh, wow, you're kidding. Really? Uh-huh. Wow. Okay, well, let me pray for you. And I pray for them, and they'll say, Pastor, that's the best advice I've ever heard. See why? Because people just needed someone to listen to. People need someone to hear and hear what they're saying and really be concerned about them and care about them. And when somebody knows that you care about their needs, then they're going to be willing to listen to you. And that is true when you're out visiting people. Be a good listener. Be a good listener. And then number 13, only one person do the talking. If you're going door to door with somebody or if you're going visiting with somebody, then make sure this, that only one of you do the talking. It's confusing enough to the person what you're talking about. They may have a hard time if one person does the talking. And by who should do the talking with the two? Well, you may start to talk and that person may gravitate to the person you're with. And they may just start talking to the person you're with and just ignoring you. And if that's the case, then let them take the ball and run with it. And you do whatever you can to keep any distractions away. But just one of you do the talking. Number 14, stay on the subject. Don't get distracted. Well, I just want to know one thing. Did Adam have a belly button? Well, you know, I'm not sure about that. But I do believe that God created Adam. And you know what? Can I just finish what we're talking about here? And then we'll get back to the subject. Well, I just want to know something. What if I smoke? Does that mean I'm going to go to hell? Well, you know what? We'll get to that in just a minute. You know, the Bible says, by the way, every one of us has sinned and every one of us do wrong. And that we all deserve to go to hell. But what we want to do is get back on the subject. Stay on the subject. Don't let yourself get sidetracked. Now, number 15, have your New Testament marked. Have your New Testament marked. This Bible, if you were to open it up and look at it and it fell apart in your hands, you would come to it and you would see that Romans 3:10 is marked at the top with a little piece of tape and a black marker. And I did this because I didn't always have the gospel memorized. And I wanted to be able to show people from the Bible what the Bible says. And so I marked it so I would know where to turn. I didn't even know where the book of Romans was in the Bible. So I had to look it up in the index, and then I went back to the book of Romans, and then I marked Romans chapter 3 and verse 10. Then I went down, and in fact, if you looked at this, you would see that there were paper clips to help me so I could make sure I could find it easy. Then I went down, and I marked Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 and Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. And I have those marked so that when I was coming here, this would be the first one. This was the top mark was the first verse I was going to do. The second mark was the second verse I was going to do. The third verse was the third mark I was going to come to. The fourth verse was the fourth mark I was going to come to. And the fifth verse was the fifth mark that I was going to come to. So if you came to this, you'd come to Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, and you'd see the last mark there. The last mark on the bottom of the page, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And I would have that marked step by step. Now, you can do that with that promised New Testament. You need to do that. We have in that promised New Testament that's there for you tonight, the gospel laid out. Five things that you must know and the one thing that you must do. If I was you, even tonight, I would go home and take a piece of tape, go to, because the verses we use are 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I would go to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, take a piece of scotch tape, mark that, and mark the edge of it so you would see at the top 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. And then our second point is that Jesus Christ is God. I would mark Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8 where Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. And he claims to be God in human flesh. And then I would go to Romans chapter 3 and verse 10. I would mark that so that on the pages you would see, you'd be able to look at the side of your book and say, okay, that's the verse I need. That's the verse I need. That's the verse I need. That's the third. That's the fourth. That's the fifth. That's the sixth verse. And you'll have a map in your Bible so that you're not fiddling through there saying, okay, well, then on the next one, it's already marked and you can go right to it. And that'll really, really help you so you won't be nervous as you are trying to win people to Christ. So mark your New Testament. That's something that you have to decide you're going to sit down and do. But once you've done it, and it might take you about 15 minutes or so, or maybe take you a half hour, maybe even an hour. But once you've done it and you've done it right, you'll have a New Testament marked so that you can lead someone to Christ. Just open that Bible and lead someone to Christ. You'll have, if you have the promised New Testament, you'll have the five things you must know and the one thing you must do in the front, and you'll be able then to go back and say, and so this is in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 6, and you'll be able to just flip there because it'll be marked right there. You'll be able to see it. It's a very wonderful tool for you. Then, when you're doing that, listen to key phrases. Listen when you're talking to people. Listen for key phrases. I've always come to church. You can go from there. Well, I always went to church too, but I never knew for sure I was going to heaven. Listen to key phrases like, well, I do this, or I'm such a sinner, or you know, I lost my mother. Those phrases give you an opportunity to enter into a conversation about eternal things. And what you're looking for is that opportunity to get into the conversation about eternal things. Now, once you begin that conversation, you can be talking about anything in the world and asking God, God, give me an opportunity to enter into a conversation on eternal things, and He'll do that. When you finally get to that point, you want to ask this question. Ask them, has anybody ever shown you from the Bible how you can know for sure you're going to heaven? You ought to memorize that statement. Has anybody ever shown you from the Bible how you can know for sure you're going to heaven? When we were teenagers, I heard a man say, "Hey, go ask somebody if they want to go to hell, and you'll get quite a response." So we started doing that. We used to go up to people in parking lots and say, "Hey," and they would say, "What? Do you know anybody that wants to go to hell?" "Well, no." "Well, we can tell you how to go to heaven. Would you like to know?" And we led people to Christ that way. I'm surprised we didn't get shot, but we were. But we got to be careful. I remember a preacher named James Robinson said he was excited one day. They were talking about winning people to Christ, and they're driving down the road, and they were just really excited about soul winning, and they were really getting excited. And the guy said, "Next person I see, I want to lead to Christ." And they're driving down the road. There's a hitchhiker on the side of the road. And so he said, "Quick, slam on the brakes." And the guy slammed on the brakes, and he ran over to the hitchhiker, and he said, "Hey, buddy, do you want to die?" He said the hitchhiker just took off running through the woods. So you got to be careful about this approaching thing, you see. Ask them, has anybody ever shown you from the Bible how you can know for sure you're going to heaven? And then next, ask them, could I share with you from the Bible? Ask them, be polite, don't force something on them. Could I share with you from the Bible how you can know you're going to heaven? Now, they may say no. I had a gentleman today say, "You know, no, I don't want to hear that. I appreciate this church. I appreciate your message. But no, I'm not ready for that right now." And I appreciated the honesty. But you can ask them. So always be gracious. Always ask. Don't force anything on them. And then you want to share with them the gospel. You want to share with them the gospel. What the Bible says. And from that point on, next week, we're going to take you through the rest of this message, and I'm going to share with you step by step how to lead someone to Christ. So, how to be an effective soul winner, we'll continue that next week in our series on making Christianity easy. Let's pray and ask God to lead us. Father, thank you for your word. Help us to take your truth. Help us to share it with as many people as we possibly can. Help us to be faithful. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to this earth and dying for us. And if there's someone here that's not sure they're saved, I pray that they will get saved tonight. And I ask this in Jesus' name.